Well, a very good evening and thanks for tuning in to Terrace Talk here on Radio Kerry, coming live as we always do from our studio here in Tralee with myself, Donal Barry. And on tonight's show, a wounded Kerry battle hard to defeat Tyrone to ease their relegation worries. The Tralee senior ladies, the Kerry senior ladies even make it 3 wins on the trot above in Tyrone as well. A day to forget, of course, for the Kerry senior hurlers as Donegal take the spoils in Division 2A. The Kerry Camogie senior team go down fighting to Offaly in their league opener. And all that and a little bit more between now and 8 o'clock this evening. And a very special interview as well coming up around 7:30 this evening, where we'll be meeting the Kerry under 14 schoolgirls team who are heading to the under 14 All-Ireland Interleague Final. Exciting times. If you are a soccer player in this county, great work going on as well. Now give us a call, 066 712 3666, or you can text us at 083 300 3300, and WhatsApp of course, and we'll give you our best for a big shout out. Ivan of course is on the phone and Keane is on desk duty as well. And Liam Brosnan is back after his big tour of Northern Ireland.
Thanks, Donal, for welcoming me back.
John Kennedy just rambled in from North Carolina. Liam, it was an epic trip, wasn't it?
It was, both on and off the field, between the game moved.
Oh, talk about off the field. Come on, that's what the crowd wants, yeah. How many hours did it get down yesterday evening?
Well, I suppose it took us... It wasn't too bad, because when they moved the game to Pomeroy, it took us closer to Dublin, you could say, a small bit. I suppose it was about 5.5 hours to get home. But, sure, 5.5 hours in the car with Ambrose and Timmy, sure, and wouldn't anyone love that?
God, and none of you driving it.
Automatic. Automatic.
I suppose after last week, John Kennedy, you predicted that we would beat Tyrone. Liam was less optimistic. I think he said we'd lose. John Kennedy said we needed a win. How vital was it to win, first of all? And the manner of the win, maybe, was even more important.
Yeah, it was crucial to win. I think Division 1 start is very important, I think, you know, from a supporter's point of view as well. But I think you could see what it meant afterwards to Jack and the players. It was a big victory, a very important 2 points. But the manner in which we won, you know, I suppose when we got the second black card, 51 and 53 minutes, 6 points down, you'd say, where are we going to get scores from? But we spoke here last week about leaders, and we had them yesterday. You know, I suppose David Clifford was outstanding. You know, he the 3 goals, like, you know, the third one, it was only half a chance. You know, the bit of a sidestep with the hop and an emphatic finish. But Dylan Casey stood up when he needed to. Graham O'Sullivan, Jason Foley, I thought they were outstanding. Our midfielders, Barry Dan, had a huge influence when he came in. And Paul Gainey used all his experience. He was involved in the 3 goals, and Paddy Clifford as well. You know, these guys, it was a battle. Conditions were tough. Tyrone had the upper hand, and you know, we had to come from behind, and the Derry game was a smash and grab kind of, but this was really dig deep. You know, we got the last 1-4 in the game. Tyrone, they threw the kitchen sink at us. You know, bringing on Peter Hart, Derek Hanavan, they were decent around the middle with the two lads with Kennedy and Kilpatrick, but a real battle. And games like this, they actually galvanise a team, and they get the spirit going, because the one of Jack's interviews after he spoke how disappointed they were against Dublin, leaving that lead slip. You know, some of the things they didn't do well, they definitely improved them. Kickouts were a big improvement. I thought the movement, you know, was there, but the scores and lads taking responsibility, very important, and we did that. And you know, relegation fears are eased. You beat Mayo next week, and you're certainly safe. And then you could be looking at the other end of the table to see, have we a chance of getting? So that's how close it is now, competitive it is in Division 1. But certainly to go to Tyrone and win, great victory.
Mm-hmm. Liam, that said, and all that is positive, of course, people are still staying at half-time. God, we're second best nearly all around the field. We started really well. We kicked 4 points. But then out of the blue, Tyrone found 2-pointers at their ease, pulled away. How vital was David Clifford's goal, first of all, and how impressed were you at the Tyrone shooting?
Yeah, it was, I suppose, look, watching it on television and being at it were probably two different, because you'd appreciate the conditions. No, and I said it to Joe at half-time, conditions, we were on about the Dublin game the week before, something similar really, and the underground footing was hard for both teams. But you could see Tyrone had the aid of the breeze in the first half from their kicking. And like you said, Davis Clifford's goal just before half time, it was vital. And even our 4 points, you know, that we went up to 4-0, they were, you know, because Tyrone couldn't do that in the second half. So it was a leg up for us going in at half time. And the only worrying thing in the second half is when every time we kind of were able to get maybe slightly on top, Tyrone came down and hit the back of the net in order to the goal and the penalty and stuff like that. But overall, I agree with what John said. It was a performance. They dug deep. We had leaders all over the field, really. I'd say there was a lot of harsh words said during the week training. They were disappointed after the Kerry result. Now, we won't get too carried away with it. There's a lot of work to be done, mm-hmm. but it was a big victory up there.
Yeah, let's drill down the first half again, because I think you're papering over some of the cracks, guys. I mean, one week we kind of expose all the cracks, and the next week we kind of paper over them in a sense. We scored the 4 points against them. We started really, really well. I mean, Bruno Bigley popped up for a fantastic score. David got the first one, of course. Dylan Gainey clipped over one, and then there was the black card. Jason Foley went in and he did really well, actually, in the full forward. Your man pulled him. We were up a black card. Poddy then nabbed over the next point. But it's the 2-pointers I want to nail down, because obviously it's going to lead to discussion that we didn't score any in the whole game, basically. But Tyrone scored, like the wing back got two of them very, very quickly. The lead was wiped out like that, and Tyrone pushed on. How impressive were those kicks from where?
They were very good. Yeah, McKernan kicked two massive ones. Mm-hmm. And they were kind of, I suppose over time with these new rules, you'll be pinpointing who can kick and who can't kick.
Yes, exactly.
So teams are trying to figure out who can kick these and who can't kick them. And I suppose Kerry were standing off a small bit. And to be fair, even though they had the breeze, it was kind of blowing across the goals as well. Yeah. There were two massive points, and it are two massive 2-pointers, and it really kind of got the crowd going then as well. But I think that's going to be the main thing in the next couple of weeks, or over through this league campaign, is to figure out who can kick these. I suppose there was talks after the worrying thing in Kerry is we've only kicked, I think, 5 overall in all our games, and Shawnee's kicked 4 of them.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So it's something that it's there, and it's going to be a big part of the game. We see Galway now, and we see Donegal and these guys. It is, the 2-pointer now is something that really kind of is going to be a big weapon in teams' arsenal now to get guys. Mm-hmm. But the one thing, when you have the likes of David Clifford Donald, I know kicking 2-pointers, but we got 3 goals.
Yeah, that's
the point.
Yeah.
So, and the thing with the new rules is that when teams come out, it leaves the space inside for the likes of David. Now you are going to get teams that are going to sit down in front of David, so that's when you're going to need the 2-pointers, whereas yesterday Tyrone were kind of coming out and left the space inside. Yeah. But then again, I think it was our second goal, it was a high ball into Paul Gainey and it broke. David was outside the 2-pointer mark at that stage, but he ran in. Mm-hmm. He was expecting what was going to happen.
It was a funny bounce off the ball, actually.
Exactly.
Kind of like a backspin ball, kind of bounced beautifully.
And he got himself in there, and next thing he hit the back of the net. So, and we had a listener, was it a couple of weeks ago, saying the new rules won't suit David Clifford. I think we see it last night.
Yeah.
These new rules will suit footballers.
We spoke off the air, the quality footballer, quality attacker,
will come to the top.
It suits them. You look at all the top forwards in the country.
Yeah.
They're playing well, they're getting the scores. And the only thing that we haven't, like Liam said, is the 2-pointers. We haven't got to grasp with that as yet.
I think that'll come.
But that'll come. And you look at it, you look at our half forward line, it's a workman-like half forward line. Darragh Lyon yesterday, Paddy Clifford and Rory Murphy, they're not kickers, mm-hmm. but they were working extremely hard, Paddy in particular.
So come the championship, you would predict that the 6 forwards will all have an arsenal of being able to kick a 2-pointer from some stage.
I think so. And even after yesterday, I was figuring in my head, I wouldn't mind seeing Joe O'Connor there. Mm-hmm. I was watching Joe now yesterday, even though he'd a solid, without being outstanding, but we got to understand these were two very good midfielders as well, in Brian Kennedy and Confit Kilpatrick. Good workmen, and the boys battled away. And I even when I was talking to Joe, I said if we could break 50-50, and in the second half we did. Mm-hmm. We battled away.
Not though till we got help from the West, though.
Barry Dunn.
I thought about when Barry Dunn went into midfield in the last 15 minutes, because you must remember Tyrone ran up a lead of, was it 6 or 7 points at one stage? We missed a couple of wides. David nearly broke the crossbar with a shot, and it didn't look like it was going to be.
And we got no point out of that as well. We got nothing out of it.
Yeah, we got no score. Now I know Joe O'Connor won a free, and Darren scored after, and I don't know, we're down to 5 points, and then Joe gets the black card, and then you're saying, my God, and then they get the penalty, obviously, and they scored, and they're 5 points up. From that point, John, it didn't look like we would have the wherewithal to get out of jail. 5 points down, penalty given away, Tyrone flying. No, I know we had the wind and the whole lot, but it is one of the things that was discussed over the weekend. Sometimes maybe under these new rules you're better off with 14 or even 13 because the team that have the advantage of the additional player are not able to use that player.
No, they're not, and it's something that's come in for a lot of discussion in the last week or two now in particular. The new rules in general, we'll all agree they're good, but I think the two that you have to look at are the handing the ball back and set
God,
them.
You hate that one, don't you?
I think, you know, there was one instance that the foul was 30 metres away. Is the player that has the ball going to go back 30 metres to hand it?
There was a very interesting one in...
That was the Dublin game.
The Dublin game, yeah.
Was it the Dublin game, was it? Or maybe it was the Division 2 game with Meade, maybe, or something similar, where the goalkeeper committed the foul. The goalkeeper came out, he committed the foul outside the box, but he would have had to bring the ball down nearly 40 yards to hand it over to the next minute. But because he didn't do it, the ball came back straight in front of the goal. I mean, things like that are not in the spirit of a foul as such.
And like, it's fine-tuning those, being honest. I think the general thing is we have to say that it helps to open up the defence. The 2 points is a big one. I think the 3v3 will have to be looked at. When you lose a man, instead of having three up, you can have two up. If you lose two men, you have only one up. Paul Gainey was the only one up for us.
And three marking him.
Yeah. Is that right? Yeah. And it's something that the group will look at, I suppose, in fairness to them, because you'll only see the problems as time evolves.
Yeah.
But certainly,
they were defending the game, but if you were chasing the game, you know, the fact that you'd have to keep three players back marking one opposition player, there's no punishment for the black card as such. You could nearly argue in a sense that David getting his 10 minutes rest done wonders for him. the defence held on. I think that was the stage that we won the game where we stopped him from scoring for ages. Jason Foley, Graham Sullivan, they performed well at that stage. Barry Dan came in, he clicked his few balls midfield, and then I suppose we had Burns come on instead of Paul Gainey as well. So we're getting fresher legs in the attack, Liam.
Yeah, and another man that we've got to mention is, I thought it was his better game yesterday with Paddy Clifford. Mm-hmm. No, he seems to be coming back to the old Paddy Clifford now again. No, still a work in progress again as well, but yesterday he really, I know, was it the brother thing that was back?
Did the game suit him more yesterday? Because of all the teams we've played so far, Tyrone were the one team that kind of, I suppose they lent into us a little bit more. They off the ball, there was a bit of pulling, there was a bit of dragging, there was a bit of fire needed yesterday.
A bit of fire, yeah. You often hear the stories there of a fella needs an old belt going up before in the dressing room to get him going. That got the Kerry boys going yesterday. Yeah. You could see David as well. The Kerry boys got a lot of attention off the ball yesterday. Yeah. And the crowd as well, you know, they were buying.
It was hostile.
They were buying for blood. They were buying for blood. And it was hostile proper environment. Hostile environment.
In a nice hostile
environment. In a nice way. And I suppose there's no better place to go when you go.
Like going to Curragh.
when you go away and you know, when you quiet in the crowd, and you could see that in David when he got the goal, and even the Kerry boys after the win, you know, they were, you could see there was that, like John said, going in Tuesday night now in training, there'd be a bit of a pep in the step again, a good bonding kind of a win. But definitely, I think it was the attention that they were getting, it got the gander up, as I say, and I think the likes of Paddy and David and all these guys, they put pulled up the socks and they rolled up the sleeves and they said, we're going to show you something here today.
The thing that impressed me with Kerry in the last 10 minutes, John Kennedy, was we weren't settling for a 2 point loss or a 3 point loss. We were really going after it. Yep. And Dylan Casey, to me, was one of the guys. He popped up for a pass, he popped up for a score. And under the new rules, it is the game that it will reward you if you want to go win it.
Oh, definitely. And I'd add Damien Burke into that as well. He was going up the field, like. And don't forget the full forward line that Tyrone had. McCurry, Bradley and McElhone. At some stage, anyway, it evolved and they were changing around because they were moving and they were switching. But that's a decent full forward line.
Yeah.
These guys snuffed them out. But these two young fellas came up the field, the least experienced players we have, led by example. Dylan kicked over a great point. You know, Clint's Fish coming out saying, let's go. We weren't prepared to lie down. We said last week, I felt that win. We look for a performance. We look for a reaction. We got it. Like Liam said earlier on, we wouldn't get carried away about it because you look at the four league games. We could have won all four. We could have lost all four. So that's how close it is. But this was a great victory and it showed the leaders that stood up. We lost, we had the two black cards, Joe and David. It didn't affect us. We ground it out. and we were still in the game when David returned, and you could see that the mission was, when they smelt victory, they went for it. And Graham Sullivan, like, popping up a great game again from wing back, and it kicked a great point just to make sure the 3 points.
A couple of things that we were looking for last week was our kickouts. There was an improvement in our kickouts. The movement was better.
There was more showing for
there
the
There was
push,
more showing for it, yeah.
There was less
there was, yeah.
Crowd or something.
Yeah, and midfield, no, and I think up front, our movement in the forward line as well. There was, we kind of came into the D and we were in and out, and there was a lot of movement and stuff. And I know people will say we had David Clifford and all that, but, you know, there was a lot of stuff going on besides David Clifford as well.
Yeah,
and the third one was the main one, was, yeah, John's one. Jack was on the sideline, which he was happy with.
No, but I'll tell you, in fair, I said it last week, and it is not a criticism, not having a go at any. Your manager is the man you look up to. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people said to me, where was Jack? I mean, regardless who else is on the line, the manager is the man. And you could see what it meant to him after. He was over speaking to Aid On at different times, but he was out there, the hand was going. Keane O'Neill and the lads were with him, but the manager was there, and I think they went up on a mission to win that game. Changed from Healy Park to Pomeroy, it didn't matter. We came away with the victory, great victory, and there'll be a pep in the step for Mayo now. Another tough game.
And coming down the last 10 minutes, I suppose, when the game was really won, and for me, a couple of things stood out. Shane Ryan's fantastic catch. You know, it could have gone over the bar another day. He saved it, he kept it in. Barry Den caught a massive ball dead in the middle of the field, a vital ball at the time. Breno Begley wins a vital free where your man nearly took the head off him, he kept it, he won it. Again, a huge catch. And then Tyrone panicked because the 3-versus-3 rule, which we don't see, they obviously all went up the field.
Yeah.
The linesman, brave and all as he was in front of a hostile stand, decides to put the flag up. We get a very handy free. David Clifford taps it over, and then the Graham Sullivan point. Yeah. So it shows that we outlasted them. And of course, Jason Foley cut the last ball in the middle of the field, a fantastic catch, and he won it. And you can see how important it was to catch as well. So we were talking last week about a lack of leadership. This week, we had it in a very tough test.
It was, yeah. Players take responsibility. Mm-hmm. You know? And I know we can have all the rules and we can have all the set plays and you can have all that, but you got to play off the cuff as well. And I think we did that a small bit as well. You know, like, if you kick 10 balls into David Clifford and he gets 6 scores, keep kicking the ball into him. You know, it's the, and if you're getting inside and you can have a chance like Dylan Casey did, and like Damon O'Connor, if it's open in front of you, take the shot. If it goes over, it goes over. Like, what is it? You only miss 100% of the shots you don't take. You have to take a shot, and if you do, you're actually going to draw the attention to you, so it'll create space for someone else. And I think we did that yesterday. I think we had a lot of fellas that were kind of taking a bit of responsibility.
Yeah, David Clifford's 3-3, was it the most he scored in a league game?
Proud in a league game.
Go on now, come on. Different manager was in charge. He scored more.
Peter Keane.
Yeah, there we go. 3-6.
3-6. Yeah. He could have 5-3 yesterday.
Well, he could have broke the crossbar too, as well, to be fair to him. No, but it was super to see him back, of course, and Paddy as well. We'll talk a little bit more about that. Guys, before we go to the break, the Games Intelligence Unit. Who's that? What's that crowd? Are you on it, Liam?
I said Trump is after setting that up.
It sounds like a Trump thing. The GAA Games Intelligence Unit. Yeah, they've just set themselves up, and I've got their summary report, and I decided we'll get Andrew Moynihan to talk us through us. Because
so I can understand this.
He being a student have more time during the day. We'll take a break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now you're very welcome back to Terrace Talk. Couple of comments coming in there. Good evening, Donal and the team. Great weekend in Pomeroy with the Kerry footballers. Some win away from home. I wonder, should we play all our games away from home this year now? Fair play to John Kennedy. He got it spot on. Big fan here, John. God almighty. When you asked him last week, will we beat Tyrone? He said we would. Off to Mayo next weekend. Can't wait, John Creedon. Will we beat Mayo? Go on, make John's moment.
I think we will, Donal. Mayo.
You're only thinking now. You're definitely about Tyrone. You're going back a bit now, are you?
Weekend, they show great resilience to come back again.
I think they're learning the new rules on the hoof, and they look
for new fellas, Aidan Shea back as well, right now, doing hoof flying, you know, and the wing forward, his name eludes me now, got a great goal.
Yeah.
You know, it'll be a good game, open football again.
Hi, Donal. Great to see a win in Tyrone. Great to see David Clifford scoring goals. I hope, and Ambrose has a crick in his neck from trying to see the game from his position, Charles. Explain to the listeners in 30 seconds the kind of position you're in.
Well, we were up on a balcony behind the goals, and there was a wall jutting out. So to see the lower goals, the boys had to reach out. So it made their job very difficult. And fair play to them, they managed the way all right, but as the professionals that they are.
Yeah, it was like a house with no planning permission.
It was, and there was a lot of bodies up there, and there was a lot of everything up there, and it went against everything for a common tree anyway, but they got over the line.
Well, they took their time at it.
They did, because we couldn't get Wi-Fi. We could get nothing. We were lucky. So.
We're not asking for the Tyrone password. So. Yeah. Hi, Donald. Pat Spann was giving out about Kerry scoring no goals. They've scored 8 goals now, and it's only the league. Hope Pat listens to your show, Eilish from Tralee. I'm sure Pat Spann listens. You text to me, John Kennedy. Are you still chatting away, are you?
Oh, yeah. We're good friends, Pat and myself, yeah.
Jesus. That'll be the next thing now, John Kennedy, Pat Spann podcast. Hi Donal and the lads. I think the big scores teams are putting up under new rules will eventually start to come down a bit as defenders start to learn the art of defending one-on-one defending again, because under the blanket defence was 3 or 4 making or marking one fella, as the great Wishy Fogarty used to say, close continuous coverage without fouling. And that's from Mossy. Absolutely. Wishy would have loved the new rules, Liam.
He'd love, yeah. It's football. We're all. Yeah. And even the Tyrone crowd that were beside us, they were enjoying the game. There was great excitement. It was up and down. You know, it's kind of, as I say, organised chaos. You know, Kerry be attacking next and they'd lose the ball and she would see Shane Ryan scattering back. Tyrone would be tackling Kerry. You know, it was just constant. And it's enjoyable to watch now, because under the old rules, there's no way David Clifford would have got 3 goals yesterday. Yeah. Because they would have playing 4 fellas around him. They would have sat back.
But he'd have to work 3 times as hard.
3 times. He wouldn't have got near the goalkeeper. Not to mind. Yeah. So
as a result of that, the Games Intelligence Unit was set up. And of course, they have a summary report. Andrew Moynihan's on the phone with us. Andrew, the boys don't understand what this is. So that's why we brought you, Andrew. And it's, of course, looking back at the first 3 rounds of the National Football League, and it's very interesting. I mean, if you are kind of the nerdy type that loves stats and the whole lot, it is good, and it's kind of giving people, I suppose, an idea of where the game is now in comparison to where it was in 2023 and 2024 and the whole lot. And we'll give the boys a few stats now. But one of the things I was looking at from the section was the kickouts in the game, the long kickouts versus the short kickouts, and it's interesting to see, I suppose, in comparison to 2023 and 2024, where we are now with them.
Yeah, evening, Donal and the lads. Yeah, absolutely. It's just it's a stark difference to what we were used to over the last number of years with the long and short kickouts. Just to see it here was a percentage of 49% and 53% in the last 2 years. You're up there now to the 79% for long kickouts and 21% for short in the first 3 rounds of the Football League. I suppose, in a way, some people may say this has to be obvious considering there's a 40-metre arc, but nonetheless, this is good. Like, no one likes, a lot of people, you know, no one really likes the short kickouts. We want the contests in the middle of the field, and that's what we're getting from these opening couple of rounds. And it's just a sign that teams have to prepare for them now. Even I look at yesterday, how Niall Morgan used the long kickout, and it went over the kind of the bunch in the middle of the field, and Derek Hanavan ended up catching it and obviously got the penalty then. But you know, you're looking at midfielders who are kind of getting their flowers as well at the minute with how they were kind of made for these long kickouts. I think Dermot O'Connor is really flourishing with how the kickout strategy has changed and his talents are being shown. Interesting in terms of the goalkeeper too. I look at Galway yesterday. Conor Flaherty was in goals for them in the first half when they had the wind, and he got a 2-pointer himself. And Joyce substituted him at halftime for Conor Gleeson, who maybe Joyce might trust Conor Gleeson a bit better against the wind for those kickouts. So can other counties look at that? I know we've 2 fantastic goalkeepers in Kerry, which it's a privilege to have in Shane Murphy and Shane Ryan. And can we utilise both in such a way come championship? It's an interesting way of looking at it from Galway's perspective.
Mm-hmm. And of course, a lot of teams will look into this, of course. And it's like you said, they're still kind of playing around, Andrew. The other thing that interested me was the contested kickouts during a game. And just to give people, I suppose, back in 2023, 36% of all kickouts in a senior championship football game were contested. So 1 in 3 roughly were contested. And that even dropped down to 26% in 2024. So there was even less kickouts. So these are, in actual fact, your short kickouts to your cornerback, you know, ball goes back to the keeper and slow, methodical. That has hugely changed. And even going round by round, maybe take us through those figures because they've nearly tripled.
Yeah, absolutely. It's gone up to, in round one, 61%, round two, 64%, and round three, 68%. Even the increase round on round is telling so far. It's an unbelievable jump in contested kickouts, and it just goes to show how important kickout strategy is now. And it's become like a real fundamental. It's a real throwback to the good old days of Gaelic football. And even when you look at it from a Kerry's perspective and from the country, even just three midfielders, the tactic from now on, do you throw a midfielder in wing forward or wing back? Even, you know, you see Brian Howard for Dublin often fills in the number seven or wing forward role for Dublin. Could we do that with Kerry? You can maybe even see a partnership with Dermot and Joe O'Connor in the middle of the field, and you could throw even Barry Dan at wing forward, or Daryl Lyons well capable of fielding on his day as well. So teams can't be conservative now on kickouts, even late on when trying to maintain control of a match, which is going to make for absolute chaos late on in these games. So that's going to be fantastic to see as the championship progresses, and you get into the good sunny days of the summer, and it's going to make for some brilliant battles in the middle of the field. And even the breaks, they're so important too now. You nearly need a set, you nearly need to pick a set of two to four players that are ready to be under the midfielder for a loose ball, a Paul Galvin type player. Maybe you could see Paul or Paddy Clifford or Graham O'Sullivan diving onto a loose ball and making the attack quick and valuable for Kerry.
Mm-hmm. And then something that obviously these are, I suppose, average stats from the first three rounds, but something that really interested me was the contested kickouts across the divisions. And it's quite surprising to think that Division 2 is far more competitive than Division 1, maybe.
It's fantastic, yeah, it's mad to see. And you know, you look at Division 2 and you just look at the calibre of teams. There's no dummy team in Division 2. There's no whipping team, you know. Like, there's fierce competition, and a lot of people would argue it's the most competitive in the country, because you have that kind of jeopardy now regarding the Talisman Cup and the All-Ireland as well. And even there's some quality teams inside that would have not maybe all our Sam Maguire aspirations, but getting to the latter stages. Roscommon, mind you, they lost yesterday, but are having a fantastic league so far. Monaghan as well, Cork and Meath as well would have big aspirations for how they progress during the year. And yeah, the contested kickouts, it's nearly like Division 2 is the poster boy for these rules.
Yeah.
And
just to go through it, and I'll bring in Liam and John now as well, the contested kickouts, we know the contested kickout, we've discovered that the ball's going longer than it's ever gone. That you didn't need to know that, to be fair. But the divisions is different. If you go into Division 1, John, 60% of all kickouts are contested, right? If you go to Division 2, 68% of all kickouts are contested. If you go to Division 3, 72% of all kickouts are contested. And if you go to Division 4, 71% of kickouts are all contested. What's that tell you about the players, or maybe the managers or the styles, that in down Division 4, it really is out the middle, but even at this stage, teams are figuring out a way maybe to not kick the ball out into a contested area? We were giving up on it last week, weren't we? We were saying, oh, yeah. God almighty, why does he keep kicking it? Will you see that teams will bring that figure down as the season goes across?
I think so, Donal, and it's about getting position. And we said last week against Dublin, a great example. Ball kicked out, the wind bringing you to the side, crowded out, breaking ball, you're not getting primary position. The movement was very important, we saw that. But as you said, the lower divisions, I think that's going to change, because as teams get fitter, the ground gets harder, it's going to be even more important to get position. And unless you're someone like Niall Morgan, that's going to drive it beyond the midfield, you know, kicking it out into crowded area is not going to be conducive to get scores. So it's about management teams and managers coming up with ideas, with movement, to still get the possession outside the arc without driving it out the middle.
Mm-hmm. Or else, Liam, is there better midfielders in Division 3 and 4 that you can kick a ball down the field and the man can go up high and catch it, as opposed to, or maybe it's a case that in Division 1 you have four and you have spoilers and you have fellas knocking it all over, where managers, like John said, it's about getting the possession at the end of the day, no matter how far down the field it goes.
Yeah, I suppose when you look at the divisions, you're probably looking, like John said, the management teams, you're probably really at a professional in that Division 1. You know, you're going to have guys that are going to break it down, break every kick out down. And I do believe coming towards the summer, there'll probably be a lot of set plays, there'll be a lot of moves. You know, you will see that figure probably coming down because it's so important for a team now to get their hands on the ball. Mm-hmm. And we saw it against Dublin when we couldn't get our hands on the ball. They've really put pressure on us. We saw it yesterday when Tyrone wanted to get their hands on the ball. They couldn't because we won a couple of vital kickouts. So I think kickouts and goalkeepers are going to be so important in this new rule because these new rules because it has a big bearing in the game.
Yeah, they're trying to get rid of the chaos basically. I mean, the management and the players have to take some control of the ball back at the moment. It's a bit chaotic. I mean, the ball can go anywhere. And then of course the weather conditions are a disaster because the last 2 weeks I said the gale force winds,
storms
and everything. So that skews it. Total hand passes by type, Andrew. A very interesting slide on that one. Again, have we more or less no difference in hand passes?
More or less no difference in hand passing. You're seeing a kind of a 3-2 in terms of hand pass to kick pass in 2023, a 3-4 in 2024. And in the opening couple of rounds, 3-2 hand pass, 3-4 in favour of the kick pass and 3-2. So more or less the same in the opening couple of rounds. Maybe one of the flaws and the hand passing game is still prominent. We're not going to have the perfect game, mind you. And obviously we're in winter football still. We're just getting out of that now. There might be too much to counter it at the minute. I know a lot of people would have suggested when these new rules were being brought up this time last year, would a 1 minute shot clock be potentially brought into the game? Is that adding more chaos and more stuff for referees to be looking out on potentially as well? But we're also seeing at the same time there is less passing, and that's potentially a good thing. Maybe it mightn't seem it. It's taking maybe less passes to get that shot off up the field. The ball's being moved that bit quicker in the opening rounds.
Mm-hmm. Looking through the figures, Liam, it tells you there's no difference really. I mean, I know Andrew says there's a difference, but I mean, it's minuscule. It's 2% of a difference. The new rules were brought in to move the ball fairly quickly. Is part of the new rules failing on the arc, the amount of hand passes that go around the arc and around the arc and around the arc? Is this where we're building up those hand passes?
It is, and I think a lot of that, Donal, is because teams are feeling their way through this at the moment. No, I think we'll see a lot less passes like the kickouts in coming towards the summer because teams will know where to attack, what points of defences that they'll you could say they'll know as a weak spot, mm-hmm. and they'll keep attacking that. Whereas I suppose in the first two or three games we don't even know who the 2 point kickers are.
Yeah.
You know, and teams don't know that either themselves. You know, so it's a case of pass it to John, pass it to me, pass it to you. No, so I think we'll see an improvement in that over time.
Mm-hmm. The shots to scores, Andrew, that's quite an interesting one. Obviously, when Liam Brosnan was playing, every shot he took was a score, and John Kennedy was probably a bit less favourable. But take us through the shots to scores.
Yeah, average shot-to-score ratio from the 2 point shots so far. You're seeing a 36% rate in Division 1, 49% remarkably in Division 2, 27% in Division 3, and 34% in Division 4. It is very interesting. Once again, Division 2 is leading considerably in that in those statistics. Maybe just has some fantastic forwards in Division 2. I know Roscommon and Monaghan are well capable of some fantastic scores.
And just to put that figure into context for listeners, it's not the amount they're shooting. So 49% of the shots that Division 2 players have taken on from the 2 point range, they've scored. Division 1 is 36%, Division 3 is 27%, and Division 4 is 34%. And we're talking about the great forwards we have. We're talking about David Clifford being the great forward. He scored 3-3, not taking on the 2 points. And Kerry haven't really favoured the 2 point shots yet. Your other famous footballer, very good at it, Shane Walsh.
We're
giving him his annual
shout out.
he's nearly.
He's excellent, in fairness. The 2 pointers yesterday in terrible conditions in Salt Hill. Oh, an exhibition kicking. 2 points, I think he kicked 5. You know, one guy that stands out from Roscommon is Damon Murta, kicking some great scores and particularly 2 pointers as well.
I think a lot of it here, Donal, is that a lot of our footballers in the last 10 years never kicked the ball.
Yeah.
So this is all new to us. and it's new to them as well, because it was all blanket defences, and there was so much so as for the and trying to get space to kick it. Now they're getting space,
but it's still remarkable to think that in Division 2 of the
49%.
That's fairly hot shooting, to be fair. Like, yeah, you know, one in every two shots are scored from the 2-point arc, where, look, I mean, 36% in Division 1, where you would say the better forwards are. The other one that's changed is players favouring the solo and go. We didn't see a whole pile of it yesterday, to be fair, I suppose, under the conditions, maybe. Take us through the solo and go, Andrew.
Yeah, if I can just find the solo and go. Give me two moments. So,
again, I'll go through the figures while you're finding them. And I suppose the thing about it is how many of them on average. Division 1 was in the first round, it was 30, 37 and 33. Division 2, quite interestingly here, again, I suppose there's probably a game missing there maybe or something, but it went 46, 50 down to 28. Division 3 was 38, 38 and 28. And Division 4 was 31, 30. It's a huge help to the game. I mean, in the old days, Andrew, they would have been kind of standalone, freeze taken, but now fellas are motoring along fairly nicely with them.
Yeah, and in particular, it's one of the things that I noticed Kerry doing a lot yesterday, when maybe there could have been a foul to just kind of stop up play by Tyrone. I guess Paddy Clifford on a couple of occasions quickly took on the solo to get that ball up the field and move on further. It's a great thing to be brought in. It's kind of one of the forgotten rules, but arguably one of the best, as it keeps the game going. And I see there was a big jump in teams around two. People were mad for the solo and go. It's topped the numbers between round one, round two, and round three. Round two seems to be a big deal for the solo and goal. But I think as championship progresses, it'll be like the contested kickouts and stuff like that. That will go up too. We'll see a lot more solo and goals as the championship progresses, because you saw the benefit it gave Kerry yesterday and just in trying to claw back that game. And so they did, and it was a fantastic. It was fantastic how they did it near on in the end.
Mm-hmm. The last one I want to touch on before we take a break is the fouls. I suppose the new rules were kind of brought in many ways. Fouls will always be fouls. The aggressive foul, I'll give the stats there. In Division 1, there was 253 aggressive fouls in the first three rounds. 352 aggressive fouls in Division 2. So Division 2 has it already. They've set all the records. Division 3 was 277 and Division 4 was 288. But the one that's surprised me the most when they go into technical fouls. So these are basically guys that I suppose are double hops or whatever, and overholding and overcarrying and all that kind of stuff. 46 technical fouls in Division 1. Division 2 is down to 35. So while there are far more aggressive fouling, there are less technical fouls. Division 3 is 48 and Division 4 is 37. I know it's only a snapshot of it. But it's a lot of technical fouls in Division 1, Liam, when you're better teams. Fair enough, aggressive foul. I can understand an aggressive foul. I can understand the delaying foul. I can understand maybe a descent foul. But technical fouls.
Technical fouls, yeah. I suppose the one thing I do see with the fouls now, and I saw it yesterday, the cynical foul is gone out of the game because there's a punishment there for it. Tyrone couldn't do a cynical with us. And the crowd were roaring to stop the Kerry players at times.
The most cynical foul yesterday was committed by Kerry, Joe O'Connor,
that's right, yeah.
In a nice cynical way, yeah.
He tried, but he just couldn't get there, that kind of a way. But that's the one thing I did notice yesterday, and especially against Tyrone.
Yeah.
Like, they couldn't slow down the play. You know, I think the solo and goal was great as well, because usually if you got a foul against Tyrone, there was three or four fellas standing in front of you, so you could go nowhere. They can't do that now anymore. So the solo and goal is very good. So the cynical foul is kind of going from the game because there's too much of a punishment there for it.
Fair play. Andrew, fair play to you. Games Intelligence Unit.
Is Andrew on that panel?
I don't know.
They opened up in Dublin.
I don't know. Maybe he's making up these figures. Are you still there, Andrew?
Gone.
Andrew's gone. Fair play. We'll say goodbye to Andrew. Good luck, Andrew. That, of course, is Andrew Moynihan. Not on the Games Intelligence Unit, just in case
we say he is.
But to be fair, a great man to read through the stats. And I suppose in many ways, John Kennedy, it's good that they're reviewing the games by game, because I suppose for people that want to understand the game and how it is going, this will help.
There's no doubt, like, and it's about speeding up the game, making it more attractive, high scoring, and like Liam said, the so long goes one, the cynical foul is gone, and I think as corners the year goes on, when teams become more accustomed to it, don't forget we had no pre-season this year, so you're basically depending on challenge games, which are at a different level, but certainly it is improving it.
It's more enjoyable to watch.
There you go. Final comment, the clock really works. We had 10 minutes in the second half. If this was in the old format, maybe they'd be 3 or 4, says Paul. Yeah, absolutely. If the clock was against us, we'd be in an awful hurry. We'll take a quick break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Why was Shawnee O'Shea missing? Was he injured? Will he be back for Mayo? Liam, do you get any gossip there?
No gossip either. He must be injured, or maybe Jack is kind of resting him. He's after playing.
Did you not ask the question? No,
we wouldn't be that. We're not that brave. We were too high up anyway. We couldn't ask anyone. But no, he might be carrying a small injury.
Yeah, absolutely. And Jack did say that he was going to rest a number of players because it was a 5-week belt of players as well. Hi, Donal. A hard day up in Tyrone yesterday, and great to get away with a win. Kerry supporters need to cut Paddy some slack. The shift he put in yesterday was savage. The hits, the treatments that was dished out to him could only be seen if you were there. He got little protection from the officials, also Beaufort Lesnar. I think the consensus was it was definitely Paddy's best game of the four, like the Paddy that we know.
Yeah, and I saw it was Sylvester Hennessy's tweet. I think he had 55 possessions, but you know we often said about possessions, you know, what he does with them. No, and he did a lot now yesterday. Anything, even when we got down to the 13 men, he carried Kerry a lot. No, he got one a free down to we got a score out of it. No, he was a leader now on the field now yesterday.
Yeah, Donal, do you and the panel think that there's still too much hand passing? Spent the time yesterday roaring. Will he kick the ball in and try and score something? And yet, that's the perception. But we looked at the stats and the figures of whoever was saying, and they were saying that there's 3 times more kicks to hand passes, and some games there's 4 times more kicks to hand passes. There still looks like there's an awful lot of hand passing in the game.
It looks like it, because I suppose the game speeds up and then it kind of slows down. I suppose mentally you're kind of looking at the slow part of it again. But look, teams at especially at Division 1 level and at a high level, they're not going to kick it in unless there's an opportunity to get a score out of. We're always saying, Jesus, just kick it in anyway to the likes of David and Paul Gainey, because you saw the big ball that was kicked into Paul Gainey. Yep. It broke and we got the goal out of it. But put the ball into the danger zone is the big thing now. But I think the first couple of games there was hand passing. We were the biggest culprits of it. But I think yesterday we've brushed up on that.
Absolutely. Come here to Kerry Supporters Club are taking their bus off again, and I'd say they'll nearly pack another one now because we win more away from home than nearly at home, and they're heading off to Castlebar this Saturday. All seats must be booked by this Thursday evening, and the travel times there are Farnforth at 8:30, Tralee at 9 o'clock, Listowel at 9:30, and if you want to book, contact Donal Leary, John King or Martin Lean there, the Kerry supporters. A lot of Kerry supporters up yesterday.
Big Kerry support up there now yesterday, and it was great because when they hit the back of the net, you hear it's like busting a balloon. You hear the air going out of the Tyrone, and you hear the pockets of the Kerry supporters, and that's great for the players as well, and great to see the green and gold up there.
Yeah, absolutely. Quickly, the ref turned a blind eye to a lot of the behaviour that David Clifford received. Why does David Clifford get so much abuse at these matches? And there's 4 or 5 to that train of thought and a couple more there. It still goes on, doesn't it?
It does, Donal, and unfortunately, look, it's the marquee players that get it, really, and David is one of those. He's one of the best. He's probably pound for pound the best player in the country. Does go in for close attention, but you could see the smile in his face after each of the goals.
Well, able to mind
that was the answer. He certainly showed, and there's no place for it in the game. And to be fair to the ref, you're not going to see everything. We've often said here about the umpires and linesmen, but sometimes it's more sledging, as they call it, more than physicality now, because if you're seen to hit a guy, there's so many cameras, there's so many people around, you'll be pulled. But look, David showed yesterday that his appetite is back, his hunger is back, and certainly he was
top
form.
He's lean looking, he's fit looking now as well, and also
sure hasn't played a football match in 300 days. What do you want?
I would sure if myself and John didn't play in 300 days, we wouldn't be lean and fit.
That's awful, John. I think you're very fit, John. You're all right.
Thanks, Tom. Thanks,
yeah. You might be needed for Division 5 or 6 there, the way things are going. Come here, the Under 16 National Cup is on and into the last 16. I better give a shout out to Mastergate EFC, the neighbours, you know, the crowd down the road. They're playing Leixlip United. That's Jacko's old soccer club, I suppose, if he was up there. Sunday at 2 p.m. above in Leixlip. Good journey for them as well, and the best of luck to a lot of those boys. A lot of Owen Rua boys playing for those. And I suppose talking about Owen Rua, that'll lead us on to North Kerry, which we'll talk about in a second, because there's a lot of people this evening texting about Donald. The programme was another joke. Hopefully it wasn't terrorist talking around about, but around about the match programme. The Kerry numbers all up in a heap. Liam?
Yeah, but not Kerry's fault. And to be fair,
are you only saying that?
Kerry boys, they all played in their numbers as of programmes. So said like so Dylan Casey wore 24, even though he started at number 4. No, they all, and Kerry did their best to do it. And to be fair to Jack O'Connor at the end, he kind of spoke up to us and he kind of apologised for the programme and he said, look, it wasn't really our fault. So I don't think we can shoulder the blame this time.
To explain it in black and white terms, Kerry named their team on the Thursday evening. They sent it up to Tyrone as would normal to be done. They'd gone to print already. They decided Ayrshire Week probably can't wait or won't wait, and they gathered the team off the website from the night before. Not Kerry's fault at all. Kerry could have stuck the oar in and said, well, listen, these are the numbers that the players are playing in. But to accommodate, I suppose, the media, which is hugely important, to accommodate particularly, I suppose, Tina G, I suppose, that was the big one, really. It wasn't meant to kind of be on live, then all of a sudden it was. So the reason that Barry Dan wore 4 was obviously Tom O'Sullivan wasn't playing, so that jersey was available. The number 11 jersey went to Micheál, or Tony Braston, yes, yeah. Because Shawnee wasn't available, and so on and so forth. Not Kerry's fault on this occasion at all, listener. And to be fair to them, they do get a fair bit of abuse, but on this occasion, no case to answer whatsoever. Case to answer for some listener, John Kennedy, why are we so bad at two-pointers? Why are we not bothered with them?
Yeah, it's a good question, Donald. You know, I think it's about adjusting to it. We haven't shot even very few. But look,
did we take a shot yesterday at one?
Can't remember a two-point attempt yesterday. Yeah.
I don't think so. Other teams are, particularly the likes of Galway and Roscommon. Really, they're going for it. But that's something that's going to evolve during the championship. I mean, if we keep winning games and not get any two-pointers, we'll be quite happy. But I'd say it's something to wait.
But it's still an Arsenal you want in the tank.
Oh, definitely.
That the day will come. You won't get the gold. You have to have it.
But as I said earlier, Donald, Paddy Clifford yesterday, Rory Murphy and Darragh Lyon, the two lads are not kickers. They were walking back. Shawnee Shea is our kicker from the half forward line.
And I suppose the other side of the coin, Jack is still balancing, giving guys a run. Yep. Trying to get the team up to speed. You don't want your full championship team in round 4, and you have to look at guys, and I suppose in the heat of battle, and Tyrone was a heat of battle place.
That's a good place now, there in our hearts, to be honest.
What is it?
Yeah.
Come here quickly, we've about 3 minutes left. Armagh Mayo shared the spoils. Bit of a shock, Mayo on the rise, John?
Yeah, I think they're improving. Do you know, they're using a lot of players, a few good young lads in there, brought back the old brigade again, Aidan O'Shea, Ryan O'Donoghue coming back, you know, Fergal Boland, cost them probably at the end, you know, with not giving away the ball, that should, and that's another learning process. But down at the bottom of Division 1, really tight. I mean, you have Derry, Tyrone, Mayo and Armagh. The next round is going to be very important. That's why the game against Mayo for Kerry, it's really a relegation battle for Mayo. They're on 3 points. If they lose, they're certainly in the fire.
Yeah. Absolutely. A couple more comments, but we'll skip through them. Barry Dan Donald is the best of the midfielders. No debate.
Yeah, good point.
When all is said and done, when he came on, he began to win ball in the centre of the field. And I suppose possession is vital. You're on about it. He won those couple of dirty balls. And then, of course, the balance out around the country. This is obviously North Kerry. Jason Foley, Dylan Casey and Graham Sullivan held it all together when we needed them most. Great sign of the defence. So, yeah, they all got positive views. And just because we're Kerry and we like to keep things balanced, I love this text that come in. Hey, Donald. Right. Where are the jack out boys tonight? Suppose they're going quiet tonight. Hopefully that didn't come from South Kerry, but I can imagine. It's amazing what one week can do, John Kennedy. I would argue the point that we were no better or worse this week than we were last week, but the result made all the difference.
It's the result, yeah.
It's a results-based game, Donald, and you know, whatever sport you're in, it's all about results. I'm not sure how many were looking for Jack out, but at the same time, there was huge disappointment.
There was a fair few notes.
There was, you know, but it was fierce disappointment. All of us were disappointed with the performance against Dublin, the way we fell away. But what we were looking for was a rebound, and we got the rebound in Tyrone. You know, got over the line, we have to say. At one stage, it looked dodgy, as you said previously. But look, we got the 2 points, we got the result, and we move on.
And I think it was the manner of the way we dug it out and the way we got on. Ask Liam what was in the soup for Ambrose.
I didn't see the soup because I was talking to Joe at half time, so you'd have to find out. I got no soup anyway, whatever happened.
No soup. Lads, we need a functioning midfield. We are simply not up for the tough stuff, as Tyrone dished it onto us all day. I suppose you're not going to go to Tyrone without being able to show
Yeah. And I think, like, you have Joe O'Connor now, Barry Dan, Mark O'Shea. If we can build 4 midfielders that would see out a game for you, I think that'll be good enough. And break even. We don't want to be winning on midfield the whole time, but just to break even.
Yeah, lads, we're winning playing badly, but that's okay with me as long as we continue to win. That goes down to that, doesn't it? We just have to win, get over the line, move on to the next round. The Cliffords won the day. What will we do without them? And there is a lot of David Clifford love on the line as well this evening. It was a terribly hard game to watch, lads, apart from the 3 fantastic goals by David Clifford. I suppose ultimately that was the difference, was it? You didn't watch much of it, to be fair.
I was on the phone. But but yeah, look, David Clifford's the entry fee alone.
Yeah.
You know, when he goes out, no matter what he is doing. But like, we were blessed in Kerry that we had the Gooch, we had Morris Fitz, we had Mikey Sheehy, we have Declan O'Sullivan, all these.
John Kennedy,
all these great footballers. You know, so, and I think, look, but still at the same time, we need 14 other with David Clifford.
Absolutely.
These are exceptional players, and we're so lucky to have them. And David Clifford is class.
Yeah.
We'll let you have the final word, so, John.
Thanks, Don.
Fair play. We'll take a break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now the Kerry senior ladies made it 3 wins on the trot with victory over Tyrone yesterday, thanks to a 4-goal return from Mark Burke's side, who now find themselves back in contention for a shot at the Division 1 League final. Dan Carney was watching the game for us. A lot of drama yesterday with games being moved all over the place. They didn't have to move as far as the men a lot down the road, but they ended up in a different part of Tyrone in Gervahi. But the result was the most important thing, and they delivered on the result then.
Yeah, they delivered on the result, Donald, in fairness to them. I suppose, look, it was very last minute with the ladies. Like, you know, the game was supposed to be going ahead in Omagh on Saturday, and then last minute Sunday morning they changed it. So that might have upset another team, but it didn't upset Kerry. And a very, very comprehensive win, and a very, very comfortable win. I think really they were kind of playing in second gear throughout the game, but they did what they had to do, and they did it quite impressively. And like you said at the start, the 4 goals made all the difference.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, Tyrone is one of these places that over the years, even for the ladies, you never know what kind of Tyrone team will turn up on the day. Sometimes, you know, they'll keep all the way with you. A reasonable Tyrone team, but again, the result was the most important thing. A couple of new girls getting an extra couple of games as well for Mark Burke. But the 4 goals, talk us through the 4 goals and how vital they were in the overall context.
Yeah, absolutely. And I suppose, look, any time you go up to Tyrone, doesn't matter if it's men's or women's football, like, you know, you're going to get it from them. Like, but really, I suppose, look, Tyrone are an intermediate team in ladies, and they looked at yesterday. Kerry looked like the senior team, even though Mark Buck did give a number of girls their chance. But Kerry were much too good, and I suppose, look, they were fortunate enough to get the first goal from Danielle O'Leary. It was after about 5 minutes. It kind of dipped in under the crossbar, but like Mark Burke was saying to me after the game, she practices that. That's something that she does. Like, you know, it might look like a bit of a fluke that she's going for a point, but she does practice to try those ones. So we might give her the benefit of the doubt there. I'm not too sure. She'd have to tell us that herself. But it was a great start for Kerry. It put them 1-2 to no score up. And then she picked up the second one. It was a shot from Niamh Carmody. Came off the post. Leah Boyle picked it up and passed it into Danielle. And, you know, she doesn't miss from that kind of range. So that was 2 goals in the first half.
and then in about 41 minutes gone in the game, and a Garvin scored a kind of a Diego Maradona shot, except she went from the halfway line, and no Tyrone player, really, I'd say only one Tyrone player came near her to tackle her, and you know, you're not going to give Anna Galvin that kind of space, and she stuck it away, and that was Kerry's third goal. And you know, at that stage it was 3-4 to 4 points, so they really were in the ascendancy then, and right at the finishing round, but with about 10 minutes to go in the game, Rachel Dwyer, she was off the bench, and she definitely took a shot for a point, there's no doubt about that, but again it was one of those dippers, and went in over the goalie's head. So I suppose, look, maybe two fortunate enough goals, maybe Danielle's goal was meant, but certainly, look, any day you score four goals, it's a great thing, and that's been a feature of this Kerry team. They've been scoring goals in this National League, and I think that was nine goals now they have in their four games, so they are a very, very, very potent threat going forward.
Mm-hmm. And they're beginning to find their rhythm of winning all three games. That I suppose the Armagh game, they nearly had it in the basket and they kind of fell apart in the last couple of minutes for them, but since then they've been able to manage games out and difficult situations, teams I suppose asking awkward questions at different times, and it's still a new Kerry team in many senses, I suppose a lot new players on it. Talk about Leah Boyle, a girl who's kind of maybe finding her way in her debut season at senior.
Yeah, Leah Boyle, you know, she's kind of come on the scene this year. She was playing with the Kerry B team last year, Scarlett Glengirl, of course. Played very, very well yesterday, put in a great shift. She was taken off against Kildare, turned out that she was winded in that game, you know, but they threw her in there again and said they'd give her another chance, and I thought she played really, really well. You know, she combined, she set up the goal, the second goal there for Danielle O'Leary. She set up a goal last week as well. So, you know, a very, very interesting girl, great worker, and she's a girl that's only going to get better as time goes on. You also had Niamh Broderick was thrown in there, did no harm whatsoever as well. You had Niamh Quinn off the bench, she came on at half time, another new player on the scene, a young player, and they're it's great for the future, all these girls getting games, because you need, I suppose, you know, we all know that Kerry lost 12 players at the start of the league, so there's a bit of depth starting to appear now on the panel again, and that's only good for the future, and you know, these girls are going to improve with games, and of course the great thing about it is you still have a kind of a spine of players that have won All-Ireland Championship. So that's really the likes of Anna Galvin, who I mentioned. Ashley O'Connell came off the bench, had a really good impact off the bench again. The likes of Shiafra O'Shea, you know, Rachel Dwyer coming off the bench as well. You know, so they're starting to build a bit of depth, but certainly your Leah Boyles and these, you need them coming on and kind of, I suppose, staking a claim for a starting place. And in fairness, she did herself no harm whatsoever.
Mm-hmm. I see Kayleigh Cronin coming on as well. I'd imagine the Kayleigh Cronin coming on later is maybe with an eye for the championship, maybe later on during the summer when she mightn't be with us, but she will be with us for the league anyway. Come here, are we second or third? We're following up fairly closely.
We're joint second.
Yeah.
We're joint second. We're levelling points with Meade. Armagh, of course, have four wins from four games, so they're on 12. You have Meade and Kerry on 9, and then you have Kildare on 6. So, I mean, whether you like it or not, you're in with a serious shout of making the National League final, like, because you're travelling to Mayo next Sunday up to Swinford, and if you should win that one, really, because Mayo, they're not going well. They're down
struggling at the moment, yeah.
Yeah, so then you're setting up a fantastic grandstand finish at the end of March, or the week before the end of March when Meade come down, and then you have the very last game against Dublin, so there's two huge games at finish, but of course you'll have a 3 week block then in between the Mayo game and the Meade game, so it's really all to play for, I suppose. Look, Kerry could have 4 from 4, they were, you know, they could have won that Armagh game, they probably should have won it, so you know, for a team that's slightly in transition, it's a good innings really so far.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a good transition for the moment. Listen, Dan Carney, thanks very much for joining us this evening. Fingers crossed we'll get 4 from 4, or 4 in a row maybe against Mayo, 4 from 5 overall, of course, and we'll push ourselves closer to that league final. That's Dan Carney. I suppose Dan looks after all our ladies' football, a man that knows everything that's going on, which is absolutely fantastic, and he'll keep an eye on the Kerry ladies. Fantastic win. Now, one other team, unfortunately, didn't deliver the goods, and that was the Kerry hurling team. And up after the break, we'll talk to Rich Dardo for on about that.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now, unfortunately for the Kerry hurlers yesterday, Donegal staged a remarkable second half comeback at O'Donnell Park in the Division 2A contest. I suppose to stun Kerry in what really was a poor result for John Griffin's side, as they became the first ever Munster side to lose to Donegal at senior level. Now, on the phone with me is Richard O'Foran to go through it. Richard, disappointing is a word we use. Is there a slightly stronger disappointment tonight, maybe?
Well, I don't know. I mean, first of all, I want to offer my condolences on the passing of Joe Slattery in Ballyhigh. He was a great servant to Ballyhigh Hurling, and of course, the father of Boxer Slattery. So, Eirishde Gurev on him. One of the headings I saw yesterday evening was surprise, but no shock. And I suppose when Donegal went up to down there a few weeks ago, people were surprised that they pushed down all the way, and Ronan Sheehan, the down manager, paid tribute to their work ethic and to their intensity. So we were forewarned, I suppose, that Donegal have improved. And I suppose people may not realise the amount of work that's been done in places like Donegal. I mean, look, when we were promoted to Division 1, we shocked Laois when we beat them above in Port Laois. You know, and I suppose in the Munster Senior League, we beat Tip and Cork. And people were saying, wow, Kerry have beaten Tip and Cork. You know, so people don't realise, you know, how the amount of work, I suppose, that's been done behind the scenes by the weaker counties, as they're called. But by the same token, you know, Donegal yesterday, they took their chances. There was some great scoring from the sidelines. But by the same token, you have to be mindful as well that we in Kerry are going through a tough patch at the moment. You know what I mean? We've spoken. A man texted me today and said he counted 20 players missing over the last 2 years. And I said, yes. And, you know, we've 8 players injured, including 2 full-backs injured. You know what I mean? We have a team in their early 20s, and one fellow, Luke Rochford, is still under 20. But at the end of the day, Donegal took their chances. It was never going to be a great day for hurling because it buckled down yesterday morning. And, of course, the loss of Shane Conwell in the game wasn't great either. But no excuses. Donegal took their chances. But, again, we have to be mindful of the fact that, you know, as a man said to me today, Kerry hurling has been decimated. And that's it's true. You know, you can lose 20 players over 2 years and expect these young fellas to come in and normal service will be resumed. It's going to take time, and we just have to accept it.
Mm-hmm. Particularly, I suppose, Richard, when the pick is small to start with. I mean, we are picking from, I suppose, 8 or 9 senior clubs, and then you're, out of that, I suppose you have an element of players who want to step up and play with intercounty, and then maybe fellas who want to maybe stay outside the wire, because that's fine too. Because I mean, obviously, you know, it's a huge sacrifice to put yourself on the line for any intercounty team, football or hurling, and the time that's involved and what you give up along the way. There was this Damien Stack report, as I quote, I'll read you. He says, as long as the Kerry hurlers aren't complacent, a win to Donegal should be possible. The kingdom cannot afford themselves to think that it's a deal or a done deal before the ball is thrown in. It wasn't like that, really, to be fair. On the day, Donegal were just better, they produced more, and any team that scores 5-14, it can't be a lucky win.
No, they took their chances, and fair play to them. I don't think that Kerry were complacent. Well, they shouldn't have been anyway, for the simple fact, as I said, a fortnight ago, we got a warning. Any team that goes up to Ballycran, and Ballycran, as many Kerry hurlers will know, is a tough place to go. Donegal went up there, and they pushed a good down team all the way. So that was a warning for Kerry. So, look, I don't think they were complacent. But, you know, I was there yesterday and it buckled down yesterday morning. It was an awful morning in Letterkenny. But so the hurling was never going to be free-flowing, shall we say. Mm-hmm. But that said, you know, I thought Kerry were very good in the first half. The goals, some of the goals were soft. But Kerry were comfortable with the wind. But then Donegal in the second half, they got those goals again. They burst through the physically strong men and they burst through Kerry. Got the goals and, you know, scored some lovely points from the wing as well. But, you know, just ground out. And, you know, as I said, we've shocked teams in the past and people have, you know, we've raised eyebrows, I suppose, when we've beaten teams. As I said, when we went up to Division 1, we beat Laois. People said, wow, Kerry have beaten Laois, and Laois were, you know, a well-established team that time. But it was our turn to be on the receiving end of a shock yesterday. But it is what it is. You know, you've done it on the way up, that they're a growing side, and we are at the moment dependent on, you know, a lot of young lads, you know, and that's simple fact. I mean, as I've said before, if Jack O'Connor were to lose 20 players over 2 years and to have 8 players out injured, including 2 full-backs, he'd be scratching his head as well, and that's just the way it is. But we have to be patient. They're inside against Meath now on Saturday at 3:30, and let's get out and support them, because there was a lot of lads on social media last night, mm-hmm. you know, who probably would need a sat-nav to get to Austin Stack Park. And they were great men on. But they're yeah. the same with the footballers, do you know what I mean?
But isn't,
they can be very critical, you know.
Isn't that nearly an element of it, that when a team is going through a bad patch or a tough patch, when they actually need supporters to come out and support them, when they need extra people in the stand, when they need people maybe after a result like that to give them a clap on the back and say, look, you know, we'll continue on or we'll get at it. For some reason, people will go on the attack and say, oh, this is awful, and this is this, and this isn't the way it should be, and we should be better, and we should be in Division 1 and the whole lot. But when the facts are explained, Richard, Kerry Hurling at the moment is in a difficult situation. It's in a difficult place, but not the sort of place that we can't climb out of, because these young lads, and the vast majority of them are young lads, are trying to find their way in this league. And like you said, I mean, Donegal are improving, Derry are there, Meath are there. All these teams, I suppose, in many ways are Kerry Hurling in their own, like trying to, I suppose, climb up their own ladder. And there's no gimme games, and there's no teams at any level that you expect to beat. You have to perform. And like you said, you're missing. Well, the 20 players are gone. You'd have to accept that. But the 8 injuries on the panel, that carries a huge burden. And like you said, if you're missing 2 fullbacks, it's probably self-explanatory why there's 5 goals being scored. But anyway, onto better things, maybe. Talk to us about Richard Keane, Causeway Camogie Club. He won the Volunteer of the Year from the President of the Camogie Association. I know you picked up an award there a couple of years ago yourself, Richard, from the Camogie Association for Best PRO. What's that like, and how important is that for a club in Kerry?
Well, it's great, and I remember being involved in Croke Park, and, you know, I was truly honoured. I was up there, you know, surrounded by, you know, people from Cork and Clare and Limerick, you know, all the muster people were together, and, you know, it was not just for me, but it was a proud day for Kerry Camogie, do you know what I mean? It was for Kerry Camogie, because as a PRO, you're only as good as the information that you get. But to go back to Richard, I mean, Richard is one of these lads, you know, there are plenty of unsung heroes. And sure, we see them, you know, in football, hurling, camogie, ladies football. They're out there lining the pitches. They're out there, you know, washing the jerseys. They're, you know, we had like Mike Burkett here in Ballyhigh. Do you know what I mean? And then they get their reward above in Croke Park. You know, they get a night out and they get their award. And, you know, after all the years of work, it's great. And I congratulate Richard, you know, a great fella. But, you know, I mean, Causeway, I mean, I grew up in Causeway myself, and the passion that they have for the small ball.
Are you still carrying that passport, Richard, are you?
Yes, I am. I'm a dual citizenship. And, but, you know, I remember growing up on the passion, you know, the 4 and a row team and things like that. That was always great passion in Causeway. And Richard, you know, he embodies that. And congratulations to him and to all the people who plough a lonely furrow here, you know, especially with regard to the small ball here in Kerry. You know, they're great people, and they do a massive amount of work, and it's often not recognised, but this time it has been recognised, you know. Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. And of course, the other result from the weekend, of course, the very National Camogie League. Tough enough campaign for Kerry ahead. They're in good company now at the moment with Offaly, Armagh, Meath, Derry and Carlow. An opening round loss to Offaly, 117 to 11 points. It's a difficult league for them.
Offaly are a good side, you know. Mm-hmm. Offaly are an established side, you know, and there's others. I mean, Derry, would know the other, but much about the others, but I know Derry are good as well, because I would have, through the Irish language, say, movement, I would know people from, like, Schlafney and the Castadigas, people like that, mm-hmm. you know, and great people, passionate camogie people, and, but, you know, they're on merit, and, you know, Kerry Camogie, they're tough, and they'll battle away, but Offaly are a good side, and they're an established side as well. And again, a bit like our hurlers, you know, it'll take time. Look, I remember being at football matches down through the years, being hammered by Meath 1 year, and then another year we were slaughtered by Cork in football. Do you know what I mean? The bad times. And, you know, people were, you know, very, very critical, you know, they were critical of Kerry recently as well. They were critical after the Dublin game with yesterday. Then, of course, everything is fine again because we beat Tyrone. So, you know, you have to be patient. You know, we're from Kerry. We're proud of our footballers and our hurlers, our camogie players and our ladies footballers. So I would say to people, you know, on Saturday, come out. Support these lads. Yesterday was a tough day at the office. These things happen, but they're young men and they will rise again.
Absolutely. Well, fingers crossed and everything goes with us. And of course, you don't have to travel too far to watch the game either. It's down here as well.
I'm still recovering after the journey yesterday. It was late when I got down last night. I tell you what, the rest of the day's work.
Between yourself and Liam Brosnan, I mean, these trips up to Ulster, I mean, you must be getting well paid for them, are you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely. Yeah. You're saying the check is in the post. Is that right, Donald?
Absolutely.
I'm still waiting for that check, Donald.
Next Friday, we'll write it for you. Come here, Richard. Thanks very much. James McCarthy's gone off training because he thinks he'll be going to be playing next week on the Kerry hurling team. The way things are going, but we'll catch up with both of you next week, and hopefully we'll have better news to report on. Of course, that is Richard O'Faron chatting about the Kerry hurlers, disappointing loss to Donegal, but as it says, all things will come to an end within a week and we'll rise again, and we have a game to look forward to at the weekend, and hopefully more of you sitting at home who are on social media giving out about the Kerry hurlers might just maybe ramble into Austin Stack Park and give them a bit of a shout and support next weekend.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now, for my next guests, they're All-Ireland final bound. Isn't it great to be heading to an All-Ireland, isn't it? Absolutely.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it's pretty good to be looking forward to that. And of course, they're dear because they dispatched South Belfast 4-0 last weekend to book their spot in the under-14 girls All-Ireland Interleague final. I'm delighted to have Ava Maguire, Ava Harty, Nasa Kirby. She's very serious, Nessa. She's a good player. Danny Maguire. And somebody that you expect to be in bed this hour tonight, because you should be up early in the morning in Ankinsla.
I'm never in bed this hour of the night, Donal. I'd be still working hard. How are things?
Very good. Come here, good. Explain Elaine Kinsler. We'll start with Elaine because, you know, she's the VIP guest here at the moment. Yeah. Plus, somebody said she has to be gone here in 5 minutes. She has another job on or something.
I have another interview.
Come here, quick explanation. How would you end up here?
So I've been involved with the girls since under 12s. So this is our third year involved. So it was Danny's fault, actually. Danny Maguire got me roped in. Right. So my daughter's on the squad and she plays with St. Brendan's Park as well. So I don't know why you asked me, but you did.
Was it easier to have the kind of the loud parent with you on the sideline?
I'm not loud. I'm not in the slightest bit loud, am I?
Much so. She's very vocal on the sidelines. It's great to have her.
Absolutely. Well, it's great to have her. And it's great to have the girls here as well because, you know, it's kind of historic. And I mean, I suppose you're planning and the whole lot. And you said, of course, they're there since under 12 and the whole lot. Ava, when did you start playing soccer?
I started playing when I was like 7, I'd say.
What club are you? What's your
MEK
club?
Galaxy.
Oh.
Yeah.
East Kerry person.
Yeah.
We're going to interview you for the rest of the night. The other Ava.
Yeah.
Where are you from?
St. Brendan's Park.
Oh, that's the end of her anyway. You can go with Elaine on the way out. Only missing, the park is a decent team. And that's the Kirby?
Park.
Oh, two parks. God. Do you feel they gang up on you or the odd time, no?
Yeah.
Yeah, to be all park talk.
She's plenty of MEK girls around her, don't you?
Yeah. Good club out in MEK as well. Come here, Danny, building a county team. I mean, obviously we're having a bit of a laugh about the clubs and the whole lot, but there's a lot of clubs feeding into this project as well.
There is, Donald, yeah, you're right. There's lots of clubs throughout the country that are doing great work at the grassroots level from their academies all the way up, you know. So I suppose we're very fortunate in Kerry that with the Interleague setup, we have teams at 12s, 13s, 14s, 15s and 16s, you know. Yeah. And they're all very competitive, you know, and they're enjoying it, you know, and it's, I suppose, girls soccer is on the rise, you know, internationally and nationally, but also here in Kerry, you know.
Yeah. It's growing in Kerry with a long time, because obviously I remember the late, great Patrick Hartnett, he'd be on, he'd have the team of the league, and he'd have who'd been the best team of the week at the thing, and there'd be a lot of work going on through there as well. Talk to us roughly about how many clubs are in Kerry at the moment playing, I mean, without giving a ballpark figure. This is where Elaine comes in. Elaine, will you check the stats? but there's an incredible amount of young girls playing soccer, I suppose, and out of that then, this is the Kerry team in that sense, and it's no different to Kerry minor footballers, the whole lot. You will go around, you will hold trials, you will pick your squad, and then you enter into, I suppose, a more serious competition or a higher level competition. Speak to us about the league that you're in.
Well, the league at the minute, yeah, is the Interleague. We've been very fortunate. This is our third All-Ireland in the Interleague series. So at under 12, when we were in the same group of girls, we ended up in the trophy final, which was played up in Kilkenny. We were successful in that. Last year, we ended up in the Shield final. It was a step up, another level up again. And we were fortunate enough to win that as well with the same group of girls. And this year, we actually are in the cup placement of the competition. And we have our place booked in the final and hope to, you know, we're facing Galway in that.
There's nice progress there, isn't there?
Yeah,
I mean, you talk steady, but it is going in a very important direction, which is this direction, which is fantastic. Is that kind of a nice reward to have as well, even for the girls, to see that, look, this is where we started, this is where we're going, we're getting closer, and I suppose ultimately it's the sports person's dream to get to the top and play the best and get on. When you win a semi-final 4-0 against South Belfast, I mean... Were you? It's all Elaine's fault. Like, did you make all the changes, or was it like one of those big?
Myself and Elaine, thank God, didn't kick a ball. So it's the girls on the field and the girls on the panel. There's 24 on the panel that are putting in the work at training. They're putting it in at their clubs. So it's their just reward, you know. But as you said, there's progress being made, steady progress. You know, they're very competitive, they're very enthusiastic, very driven girls, but they're also very happy. They're enjoying playing their sport, and they make great friendships, you know, all around the county. And even the girls have met other girls from other county teams, you know. So it's great for them, you know, to build on that.
And Ava and Nessa are three girls playing at a very high level, but Danny and I are both passionate about girls playing sport and girls staying playing sport, because we all know about the drop-off figures at this age, because the girls are all around the 13 age mark now, and I think 30% less girls play sport going from sixth class into first and second year in secondary school, and very, very low level of girls get, you know, the required amount of activity every day that, like, you need to have to be healthy. So that's something I'm really passionate about. Like, this is all great, it's at a very high level, but like, Danny and I are involved in the club as well, and so it's for all girls. Like, all girls are welcome, all girls should be playing sport and keeping playing sport for as long as they want to as well, you know. And we do feel passionate about that. And also something else you touched on is that the girls are happy, so they'll stay playing sport if they're happy.
Where is that drop off? Like, I mean, I've seen the figures, like, I mean, it's a massive drop-off for some reason. It just happens. No, obviously there's probably a whole lot of good reasons and a whole lot. But keeping it enjoyable, keeping it fun, keeping it... because girls would have a bigger social circle. I mean, they go because it's fun, and you see all the stats, and fellas go because they want to be in the best team and they want to win, and they want to win loads of medals. Girls, it's more friendship and maybe, you know, they're getting involved. And I suppose the whole county aspect is you're meeting girls from Tralee, Killarney, Carsevine that you possibly wouldn't meet if you weren't in this kind of circle. But the drop-off is frightening, Elaine.
Yeah, it is. And I think, like, especially we're talking about now about county team, I suppose, so the standard is very high and these girls are very competitive, but they have to have fun too. And so we do try to make sure that when we have bus trips away, I think, Nessa, do we have fun on the bus trips?
Yeah
we do. What do you think, girls?
Yeah.
We try to make it fun as well, don't we, Danny? I like that. They have a bit of crack at training as well. There's always time for that too.
It's not that serious, you know. Girls need to enjoy, kids need to enjoy it, they need to be happy. The other side is the bus trips. If we have an away match, the first thing is we're getting the bus. It's been a big bonding thing for the team, you know, and for the panel. They have fun, you know, that's the main thing. Once they're happy and having fun, that's half the battle.
Do you have all your own seats in the bus, Nessa?
Yep.
Yeah, this is my seat. I sit with her and she sits with her, the back seat. Everybody sits in the back. Come here, Nessa. It's a fantastic season. We're obviously talking about the fun part now and the whole lot. But let's go back to the results and the whole lot, because somebody said you were unbeaten, or you're fairly impressive at the moment.
Yep.
Talk us through the season. How was your first game out? You're a real expert now, you say you won't remember it. And
West Waterford first.
Oh,
I think,
yeah, we played West Waterford and we won 17-0.
Right. It's not cricket you were playing out, it was definitely soccer, was it?
No.
Right, poor West Waterford. Maybe you should have played the whole of Waterford, maybe. West Waterford. Come here, 17-0, yeah, absolutely. I suppose when you come off the field, though, is there a bit there that says, you know, we enjoyed it, but, you know, these girls that we beat are doing their best at their stage? And is there a bit kind of, I won't say pity, because that's the wrong word, but is there an acceptance for how hard they're trying, and maybe, you know, fingers crossed, next time you play them, they'll be that little bit better? Because that's what you want as well. You want a good contest.
Yeah.
you're playing.
Yeah, we had tough games too, though. Yeah. We had a tough game against Cork. We had a tough game against like East Belfast, or South Belfast, were a good team, you know.
The Cork girls were a tough opposition.
When you say tough, no, look, obviously people say you got built the shoulders, but is there because they would have a bigger pick, maybe that they have
exactly
maybe
done, yeah.
that kind of to the bigger pool.
They'd have a bigger pool, a lot more clubs feeding into their interleague selection. Mm-hmm. I suppose the popularity then of soccer in the city, especially up above in Cork, you know. Yeah. And we're quite successful against the three Limerick leagues as well, which is very traditionally a good hotspot for the grassroots soccer. So
it's good we border Limerick in a lot of instances.
Of course.
Because they are quite good in that sense. Ava, tell us about MEK.
We're a very good team. We're unbeaten.
There you go. That's the fun.
They are.
We're a very good team and we're unbeaten. Fair play. Real East Kerry talk. Good stuff. Where are you from? Are you from Fossa?
I'm from Fossa.
All right, okay. Oh, David Clifford, Tom Town, all that kind of crack. Yeah, absolutely. Do you play in that field down by the Nugget? Is that your home field? Yeah.
Bit rough, but
yeah. Well, funny enough, I might say it's a bit rough, but the amount of All Ireland champions that came out of that field in football, because the Kerry ladies used to train there back in the day as well. But I suppose it's a nice place to have, and the club are doing wonders, I suppose, to develop as well. And it's hard, Denny, for clubs to kind of come in and find a patch that they can call their own and develop it. And I suppose they have so many clubs and players and teams coming on it, so that's a struggle at times.
It can be, in fairness, and the community in the soccer world is very helpful. They all help each other out, you know, and when there's pitches are unplayable, you know, we all rally around and try and get the fixtures played and stuff, you know. So a lot of clubs have close working relationships with each other.
We're on about fun. Do you enjoy it?
I love it. Yeah, I really love it.
What's different about it? Like, before Denny made the phone call, you probably said, actually, why this? But since you've kind of got the nice hoodie on and got the branded clothes on.
No, I love it, Donal, and I think it's, you know, I always think that, you know, some parents have to help out and have to volunteer and step forward, and if not, there isn't any club, you know. But I do really enjoy it, and like, my daughter's involved as well, so it's something nice that we have together. We train Sunday morning, so it's no joke getting up early on Sunday mornings, but I have to say, like, we all get along really well. It's a great atmosphere. The girls are just the most brilliant bunch of girls. They're just lovely to work with. They're fun, they're polite, they enjoy it, they work hard, they're friends with each other. It's very easy to be involved in this group, you know. Very enjoyable.
Do those conversations continue with your daughter when you get in the car and go?
Might be a little bit different. I know, but it is something nice to have together as well, you know, so I kind of enjoy that.
Would you have had a soccer background, a sporty background? Or?
So I would have played sports growing up, but not really soccer. I played soccer a little bit, but not major, but I always loved soccer. So I always wanted to play it more than I did, I suppose, but it was always the one sport that I've always loved, you know.
Is she nice, Nessa? Sure.
Yeah. Careful now, Nessa.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. She hasn't got her yellow card or anything yet, no?
No.
Denny said she was quite vocal. I'm
going to get an awful reputation now. I'm very quiet. Ava, help me out. I'm very quiet, aren't I?
Yeah.
Really?
Ava, you don't have to be here. Ava, come here. Talk to us about your club. I know it's the park. Tell us why it is.
We're a good team. We'd be the second best team.
Oh my God, don't sell yourself short. Second best team. Aspiring to be the best team. Who's the best team so far if you're the second best?
MEK.
Are they really that good?
Yeah.
Oh, the Fossa crowd are really good at everything, aren't they? Huh? Mm-hmm. Nessa, surely MEK aren't that good.
No, we're better.
You're better?
Yeah.
Have you played each other in club games?
We have.
Mm-hmm. Oh. It wasn't 17-0 though, was it?
No.
No. What was it?
3-2 to them.
Oh, that's not that big. 3-2?
Yeah.
Dodgy decision or something, was it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Come here, I mean, when you're playing for Kerry girls, and I'll ask all three of you this, I mean, it's great to come into the group and the whole lot, and you put on the Kerry jersey and the whole lot. Is there still a bit of club rivalry, or is that kind of left at the gate, Ava?
Sometimes, like, if we played a match over the weekend, they could be bringing it up, like, oh, we won 1-0 or this, but...
That sledging goes on, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And then when you train then with the Kerry, it's a sliding tackle on the MEK one, is it?
No.
No. Well, you leave that out because Kerry needs to win too.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's it like playing for Kerry? I mean, you go from your club and you're very good, and obviously you hit a bar and you jump through that, and you're playing with the Kerry team. What's it like to play for Kerry?
It's tough, it's hard work, but it's fun at the same time.
Cool. The fun bit always comes in, which is great. But when you say it's tough and it's hard work, is that because there's more training or harder training, or is there more tactics? Or
Yeah.
Yeah, all that. Mm-hmm. How about you, Nessa? Did you see the big jump going from Park into the county setup?
Yeah, it's a lot quicker.
Quicker. Yeah. Oh, very good. Absolutely. So there's more training, more fitness, more technical. Is there more technical side to it?
Yeah, there is.
Okay, so would you be working on your, I don't know, free throws, and would you be working on your possession restarts and free kicks? Have you got a free kick coach?
No.
You need one of them, Denny. All the cool clubs have one of them now.
Oh, they do. We'll work on that, Donald.
Yeah. Win the All-Ireland first. Come here, will you stay with me? Elaine Kinsler is gone. She's so important. She has loads of jobs, guys. Okay, so she had to leave, okay? Or else we couldn't afford the appearance fee. One or the other. But she's gone. But you stay with us, and after a break, we'll drill down and look forward to that All-Ireland. What do you reckon?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the plan. It's like tough training. We have to have a plan first, and then we go at it. Take a break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now we're here in studio with, I suppose, the under 14. Is it schoolboys, schoolgirls? What's the official term?
Yeah, Kerry Schoolboys and Schoolgirls League.
Under 14 league, yeah. 14, it's a huge, yeah. Huge. And of course, you're in the Interleague final. You're listening, of course, to Denny Maguire. Is this your first or second year, Denny, at it, or are you there a while?
My third year with this group of girls, yeah.
And you've graduated all the way, but this now is the cup final. This is the big one.
This is the big one, yeah. The weekend of the 8th and 9th of March against Galway. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, we've been fairly successful this season, I suppose, with a convincing win against West Waterford, then a very competitive game against Cork, and then we went on and played Limerick Desmond. So we beat Cork 2-1 and drew 1-1 with Limerick Desmond. So we topped our group, and then we went on to play Limerick District in the All-Ireland quarterfinal. An exciting game. We won 3-2 after extra time. So then we played South Belfast, and fortunate enough to win 4-0. So we've booked our place in the final. And yeah. That was our route.
And the final, I suppose, at the start of the year, Denny, I mean, you bring in a squad, you really don't know from year to year where you're going. But when you brought this gang of girls together, did you have an inkling that, there's something good here? You know, obviously, sometimes you need a bit of luck and you get a bad result, you have an offside goal that should have been a goal and you lose and you're gone the whole lot. But with the rubber degree and the bit of luck, did you know there was something special in this group?
Yeah. I've seen it now for the last couple of years. You know, there's a good bunch of girls there, you know. And they all complement each other in different positions, you know. So, and that's testament to the work that's going on at the grassroots, at the club levels, you know, from the coaches within the league, you know, and the league is very competitive, you know, in all age groups across the board. So the interest is there, you know, the coaches are behind them at their clubs, the parents are behind them, you know, and the girls love what they're doing. So.
And Elaine kind of touched on it earlier about the parent support and how she kind of jumped in, because, you know, sometimes you just have to step up and kind of, I suppose, join the group and help out, because without the parent support or the family support or I suppose that unit, or sometimes even the community support, the clubs pushing you on as well, you wouldn't have a Kerry team.
No, you know, it's all hands on deck. You know, there's a lot of cogs to the wheel. A lot of stuff goes on in the background, Donald, that people don't think about. You mm-hmm. know, the fixtures, you know, organising referees. There's a lot at play that goes on in the background, and people mightn't have any footballing knowledge, but they might have the administration skills or anything like that everybody can... Yeah. Their own skill set.
Even organising the bus, somebody just pick up the phone and
the logistics, everything like that, all those small things.
And get the bus and find the fields and find the pitches. Nessa, who follows you around from match to match?
Mum and Dad.
Oh my God, are they good supporters?
They are.
Yeah. Are they bringing you training forever since you were smallie?
Yeah.
Did they have to drive you far the first day down, or did they just let you outside the gate?
I don't know.
You don't know, you weren't there. When did you start playing with Park?
3 years ago.
Okay, and what's the enjoyment part for you? Why do you enjoy it? If I told you now you couldn't play with Park anymore, would that be an awful disappointment?
Yeah.
Yeah. Why the love? Why are you going down? Is it the friends? Is it the pals you have? Is there a great team bond there? Is there great coaches there maybe that you want to go back week after week because, you know, there's great coaches? Or is it the fact that you're really good? Well, maybe second best, because we were told you were only the second best.
It's a good club and all my friends are there, so.
Yeah. And do you go back to school then and do you chat about the games and the whole lot and that kind of crack?
Yeah.
So it's part of it's going down is the fun, it's the friendship, and the fact that you're good at it is, it's kind of up there, but it's not hugely important.
I don't know.
You don't know. Well, that's a fair enough answer. Amy Kay, you're from Fossa originally.
Yeah.
Are you playing with all Fossa girls or have you other Killarney girls with you?
There's some from Milltown.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Kroglen.
In Killoglan.
Yeah.
My God, you really are a MEK team. Is that, was that Mead and East Kerry, wasn't it? MEK yeah. was Mead and East Kerry. So you have a big, I suppose, area to control. But when you get to play with girls then from Killoglan, like you wouldn't go to school with those, or you wouldn't see girls from Milltown in your school. So what's that like when you get a chance to play and train with them?
Well, now we're kind of used to playing with them because we've done so much trainings. But before it would have been harder because we didn't really know each other that much.
Okay. And is that hard then to kind of get over that? Does it take a couple of weeks or does it take a few games?
Didn't take too long. It's a few games.
Okay. So you will pass the ball to the Clarkin girl now and she yeah. will pass it to the Milltown girl, is it?
Yeah.
That's why you're top of the league, is it?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Come here, you head down to Park as well. How many times a week do you train? You could say anything now at this moment. I'm fingers crossed.
Just Park or...
Oh my God, you have too many teams. Just Park. Tell us about Park.
3 nights a week.
God almighty. Man, you know, you don't train 3 nights a week. I'd say things the way things are going. Come here, 3 nights a week. What's it like? Do you enjoy going down? Do you love putting on the boots and togging off and doing the lap? Do you do laps anymore, or are they kind of an old-fashioned thing?
No, we don't do laps.
Oh, thank God. Okay, laps are gone. Okay, they'd be all gone if they were listening to doing laps. Unless you're missing. Right, okay. Right. Well, you've no laps done, so you're obviously not missing with a while. God, Elaine Kinsler said you'd be easy to interview now, to be fair. So you're not missing. Where do you play on the field?
Midfield.
Okay, so you are a little general in the middle of the field. Why do you like being there?
I don't know, I just like spraying the ball through.
Okay, so is there a great, I suppose, emotion when you win that ball and knowing that Ava has to pass the ball back, forward, nice clip pass over the top, see somebody in space. Do you enjoy doing that passing?
Yeah, there's a lot of options.
Cool, so you've obviously good players that you have options. And if you had no options, you would be going nowhere else. Where do you play on the field, Ava?
Left wing.
Left wing, all right. Does she pass the ball to you that odd time? There's no passes coming from midfield. Yeah. At a push, you would pass it to her, or do you pass it to her all the time?
Sometimes.
If she's in a good enough position. Nancy, where do you play?
Midfield.
God, you're all inside the middle of it, are you? Did you not bring no backs or forwards in? You're keeping them off the radio so Galway won't know who's playing. Why do you like midfield?
Because you can defend and you can attack.
Okay, and what would you like more of?
Attack.
Okay. Have you scored a few goals?
I have.
When did you score the goals?
I scored one against Cork.
Okay, tell us about that.
I took the corner and it went in.
Straight in from a corner?
Yeah.
Wow, that was pretty cool, was it?
Yeah.
Did you run over there and get the selfie with the parents?
No.
No, that'd be too cool altogether. Have you scored?
Yeah.
All right,
from
your left wing.
Belfast.
Oh, very good. Talk to me about it.
It was a free kick from the left side and went up in.
So you scored dead ball. Oh, wow. My God, what happened when you scored? Did the whole of the park jump on top of you?
Yeah.
Yeah. How good a goal was it, Ava?
It was all right.
Only all right. My God, it was like a David Beckham goal. It was only all right. Have you scored?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. When did you score a goal last?
The Limerick game, we drew 1-1 with them.
Oh, that was a vital goal. Yeah. That was a pretty vital goal, to be fair. I mean, if you didn't win that game, you weren't going to progress into the next round, were you?
Well, we wouldn't have topped the group, so we wouldn't have got into the cup competition. So, yeah,
oh,
it was
wow,
important.
Okay. Was it a good goal?
Yeah.
How good was it, Nessa?
Top class.
Top class? Was it that good?
It was all right.
Yeah, I'd say all right too. Yeah, you slammed her free kick like she was never going to see it. Come here, Danny. There seems to be kind of... even from the connection with the three girls here, there's a bit of crack about the team, there's a bit of a bond about the team, and yet they're incredibly proud of Park, MEK, and I'm sure if it had Kilmare people on, they'd be proud of that fact. But now you're heading for the final. Does it get a bit serious from here on in?
It does, Donald. Look, it's a final like any team. They want to be in it. The girls are, as you can see, they're very competitive. They want to be successful and are driven, but at the same time we won't lose sight of having the fun and enjoying it as well at the end of the day. But it does get a bit serious, but they tune in. Do you know when they need to tune in and when they need to be serious? So yeah, it's progress for all the girls.
And does your workload increase a small bit more? Are you kind of on the phone to your friend or cousin from Galway to kind of figure out, are you trawling through the Facebook page looking at the scores?
You might be making a few confidential inquiries as to what's going on in the background.
Well, that's part of it. That's quite part of it. I mean, like, it's an All-Ireland final. It's under 14. That goes out the window. At the end of the day, you need to know, can your left wing Mark, who's coming down from Galway, and the whole lot. Is there a bit more of that side to it?
There's a bit more of that going on, you know, trying to get matchups right and, you know, be tactically astute to line up what way we're going to play, you know, depending on the opposition, you know, and things can change, you know, and having to be able to adapt. Girls can get injured, conditions can dictate it.
Yeah.
Our game against South Belfast, the wind was a big factor in that game, the opening half, so you have to be able to adapt, you know. Yeah. But that's all learning. Everybody's learning, you know. So.
Yeah. And of course we talk about learning for the players, but obviously the coaches need to learn as well, and I suppose you make a mistake, you try not to make that one again, or you everything kind of moves around. Do you enjoy the whole coaching aspect of it, Danny?
I enjoy it. It can be it's stressful, but I enjoy it. I enjoy seeing the girls make progress, you know, and learning, and I do enjoy it. You know, it's fun. You know, Elaine said it, they're a great bunch to be involved with, so that makes it a lot easier.
Yeah.
And
then the most stressful thing that I ask all the managers, listen up here, players, this is very important when you become a manager. You can only put 11 on to start. How hard a decision is that to make? Because obviously, like, you're picking a team to win, which you need to, because you're in an All-Ireland final. That's incredibly important as well. Obviously, you know who's going well at training. You know some girls probably, while they're lovely and they're great and they're first in every night, they mightn't be further along than some girls. And then, of course, you have the parents outside the wire. I mean, they're never that far away. So look, there'll be about 25 of them outside there this evening, all looking in. And then you have the clubs, I suppose. You know, the clubs will look at it and they say, oh, we'd love to have 3 or 4 on the team. How hard a decision is that? Do you have to just totally go away from all that, pick your team, and off you go, and I suppose win or die on your own sword?
Well, ultimately, you know, you have to make the best decisions for the team and the panel as a whole, and that is the difficult part. Picking, you know, the first 11 or the first 18, you know, or the first 24, mm-hmm. ultimately is very hard. It's a very difficult thing to do. But I suppose you need to detach emotionally from it, you know, and you look at it, you kind of put on your professional cap and say, listen, what girls are going to go out there at this moment of time and do what they can, you know. But that is very hard. There's lots of variables at play.
Yeah, absolutely. Nessa, are you looking forward for the final?
I am.
Really? How many of your family go? Have you minibus yourselves or?
I'd say just the 5 of us.
5? Which one? 5 is a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. They'll be all watching you taking a corner. Hopefully you'll swing right back in and repeat. MEK, I suppose you're taking about 4 minibuses, are you? Because you have Killarglen, you have Milltown, you have Fossa, you have everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. How exciting. Do you go home and like people say, God, you're an All-Ireland final?
Yeah, sometimes.
Sometimes. Is it nice when they say that to you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you know, it is kind of nice. How about you? You told nobody you were in the final, I suppose, did you?
Yeah.
Do you get stressed now at matches, Ava?
No.
No, I'd say there's no stress whatsoever. Are you looking forward to playing in the final? Do you even know how important it is?
It is important, yeah.
Fair play. How about it? How important is this?
The most important one.
Yeah, that you've played so far, because you're going to have loads more important days ahead of you and a lot more days. Danny, listen, the very best of luck. Best of luck to Elaine, if she's out there somewhere. It's a fantastic story. I mean, there are so many fantastic stories in the county that we kind of don't tell at times, and you don't see yourselves on the papers as often as you should and the whole lot. But that doesn't mean people don't know that you're in the final. It doesn't really mean that people won't support you, and because they mightn't be there on the day either, doesn't mean they won't be checking for the result and the whole lot. Hopefully we'll win, 2-0? Who'll get 2 goals for us?
Nessa.
Will she get both, will she? I will give her 1, don't give her 2. Will one of you score? Well, you're going to pass the ball in, so you're going to get an assist. You'll probably get 2 assists. How about that? 2 assists, a goal, and a goal. A free kick and a corner.
Yeah.
We'll settle for that, will we?
We will.
Danny, you come back with a 2-0 win?
I would be happy with that, Donald. And yeah. I said just before we finish up, I'd just like to thank, we've got a very generous sponsorship from Muckers Park Hotel, you know, so and we'll be having our launch night there in May for the Gaynor Cup into the future. But yeah, no, we'll be competitive next weekend and see how we get on.
Fair play, fingers crossed. Listen, it's a great story to finish the show. Thanks to all our guests on Terrace Talk this evening, and of course all the calls that come in as well, and all the texts. That's what makes the show. The very best look to girls, fingers and toes crossed, and win, lose or draw, have fun, and sure, if you win, bring back the big cup, will you?
Yeah.
You bring the cup in?
Yeah,
don't mind going to park now, bring it in here straight away. Good stuff. We'll do it all again next week.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.